These are the news headlines starring Roy Hudd with Chris Emmett, Alison Steadman, and the Hudliners.
Thank you very much indeed, folks, and welcome to the show. Yes, the show that does for politicians what Prince Philip does for jumbo passengers. Yes, and this week, of course, more bad news for the Tory party, eh? Ted Heath decided to stay in it. Did you see that group of youngsters from the Jobs Express at number 10? They told Maggie they were really fed up with sitting around all day doing absolutely nothing. Mrs. Thatcher told them it was strange. Her son seems to thrive on it. And according to reports out this week, the British are drinking less. And it's worrying the government. They're afraid everyone might sober up and see what a mess we're in. But what a shock. What a shock, that mini-budget, eh? Dental charges up by 50%. Won't bring any more money, though. No, that's the Ransom's left the country. The only woman who eats the tomatoes with a tennis racket. But there we are. Oh, did you read about that pack of dogs savaged a former minister? Did you read that? He had made a right mess of his clothes, you know, ripped them to shreds. He only said he was sorry, but the dog thought it was Michael Foot. And I see poor old Michael's been down in the dumps. Well, he had to get a new suit from somewhere, didn't he? And here we are, eh? A week after the Crosby by-election and the dust has finally settled. Mostly on Shirley Williams' hair. Oh, did you see? She went to a hairdresser in Crosby for a cut. Yes, they've already nicknamed him Captain Kirk. Because he's boldly gone where no man has been before. From the ridiculous to the sublime, members of the royal family are already making plans for the arrival of Princess Diana's baby in June. Eh, yes. Barbara Cartland's retired to her country home to start putting on her makeup. And did you see the bank robbers who got away on a push bike? Yes. Police think it was the work of the Tebbit gang. Yeah, still with daylight robbery, though. Now that the TV licenses have gone up, how long before dog licenses do the same, eh? Still, it won't affect me. I've only got a black and white dog. Turning towards showbiz, I see the audience at this year's Royal Variety Show had a lucky escape. Yes, Charles Aznavour didn't turn up. But keeping away from music, I see the Bee Gees went back to the house where they were born in Manchester. Yes. They even saw the barbed wire fence they used to sit on and sing. And what about Noel Gordon's first night on the stage, eh? Yes. You could see she was visibly moved. Mm-hmm. You could see the stagehands working her arms. But did you read about that Irishman who applied for early retirement at 63 and found out he was 79? That means he was 16 years old before he realised he'd been born. Well, I must say it was a surprise hearing Britain's consumption of cigarettes and booze had actually gone down, wasn't it? Of course, it is bad news for the Tories. Just think of all that lost revenue. What's needed is a few more gatherings like this.
Oh, there you are. Oh, lovely. Care for a top-up, old boy?
No, thank you. I find this sort of behaviour most undignified.
Oh, I don't know. It does you good to have a knees-up.
Yes, but not at a cabinet meeting, really.
I shan't tell you again, Sir Geoffrey. Take your hands off my economic strategy. Order, gentlemen, order.
Oh, thank you, Maggie. I'll have
Willie,
a
small... Willie, that's a very old joke.
I'm a very old minister.
Now, look, gentlemen, I have something vital to say that could affect the whole future of the party.
Who was that, Prime Minister?
Has anyone seen the corkscrew?
Prime Minister, do we have to dwell on drinking and smoking? There are other things on the agenda.
Have patience, dear boy. Sex and drugs come later.
After she's gone, I hope.
But we really must increase our revenue. That's why the government's changing its anti-smoking advertisements. This was the old one.
If you're a smoker, ask yourself why. Think twice before you smoke. Most doctors don't.
And this is the new one.
If you're a smoker, ask yourself, why think twice before you smoke? Most doctors don't.
You see, that should do the trick.
Please, Mrs. Key, the nation awaits our decision.
Oh, all right. What's next on the agenda?
The unemployment figures.
Yes, they're up again.
Oh. Well, leave it to me. I know just what's needed.
What?
A good stiff brandy.
Well, I see this week that Barclays have opened a branch in Peking. I have a yen to open an account there.
Can I help you?
Yes, thank you. You can.
Now, you would like to open an account?
I would indeed, yes.
Of course, in Republic of China, we do many accounts. You can have current account, deposit account, savings account, or special microchip account.
I'll have a current account.
In Republic of China, we do different kinds of checkbooks. You want a Chinese silk one, or a little red book, or one printed on rice paper. Rice paper ones, very good. If you get overdraft, we just eat your checks.
Just an ordinary paper one.
Also, in People's Republic, we do very classy facilities.
I thought you might, sir.
In the Republic of China, we have many kinds of money plans. We have the People's Investment Poker, or the Peking Loan Fund, or the Peking Peekaboo Withdrawal Plan, or the Peking Friends of the Pandas, or the Peking...
Look, I don't care which Peking plan or any... any Peking one will do, as long as I can put my money in it. Here's my paycheck.
Thank you, honorable customer.
Yes. Now, if you don't mind, I'd like to draw some cash out, please.
Ah, in People's Republic, no one allowed to have money. Good day, sir.
And, of course, this week we had the story about the call girls who were equipped with bleepers so they could go about their business more efficiently.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today in the sight of God to join together this man and this woman in holy matrimony. And...
Really, Pamela, I do think your grandmother could have taken one day off. And how about the TUC twins, Tom Jackson and Len Murray, going for a flight on Concorde? First class and all. Blooming sauce. Tom and Leonard came by Concorde on a transatlantic flight. Though the TUC accounts are in the red.
In the red.
But it really was important to get home before midnight. Because Len Murray had to hurry home to bed.
Home to bed.
They wanted fish and chips, but had to dine on caviar. And played the first-class game with great panache.
Great panache.
They both looked much more equal than the others.
Than the others.
While Tom soaked up champagne in his moustache.
Oh.
But the unemployed protesters have now dropped a gentle hint that the union funds are not Len Murray's mint.
Murray's mint.
And I see that the BBC's Panorama are looking for a new presenter to take over from David Dimbleby. So we're now going to drop in on the latest auditions for the job. Sir, can I have the first applicant, please? And your name, sir, is...
Michael Parkinson. And welcome to my show. My first guest is a man who...
Michael, this is Panorama, not Parkinson. But not to worry, I had heard you were a bit forgetful.
Oh, yes, that is a bogey of mine.
Yeah, very nice. But don't do that in front of the cameras, will you? So now we go on to the next two is...
Gladys Pugh. Oh, aren't you a lovely man?
Yes, yes. Well, please now just demonstrate how you would introduce Panorama.
Oh, yes, all right, then. Now, good evening, viewers. Heidi Highbrow. This evening's entertainment begins at the offices of the Social Democratic Party, where your jolly host, Rollicking Robin Day, will be assessing the leaders of the SDP in the Wobbly Policies competition. And could I remind viewers who want to take advantage of our babysitting service that as soon as we've finished interviewing Edward Heath, You can mind him for as long as you like.
Yeah, is this a place where you're auditioning people for Panorama? Henry Cooper's the name.
Well, yes, perhaps you'd like to read this introduction to our feature on Afghanistan.
Yes, certainly, certainly, yes. Things is getting a lot worse in this here Afghanistan place. Because every uprising by the Afghan guerrillas is met by a display of brute strength by the Russians. And that's the thing about brute. It's strong, yet it's subtle. I often splash it all over me. Just like the Russians are splashing.
Yes, Henry, all right.
Don't call us, we won't call you. Now, the next, please.
Good evening, everybody. Now, don't get up. I'm not the Queen yet. I believe you're looking for a new presenter for Panorama.
That's right, Mrs. Thatcher. We're looking for somebody to follow in the footsteps of David Dimbleby.
Well, I would like the position.
Good. Off you go then, Mr. Dimbleby. And if you'd like to follow in his footsteps, Mrs. Thatcher?
Yes. Where exactly is he walking to?
The nearest bog. Well, the British economy continues to suffer from its three biggest ailments: high interest rates, inflation, and Sir Geoffrey Howe. And yet, on the face of it, he seems such a meek little man.
How do you do? I'm Sir Geoffrey, a meek and mild scholar of economics. One night, I sat in the lab experimenting with my apparatus.
Hurry up, Geoffrey. It's time for bed.
In a minute, Father.
You never got the hang of biology, did you, dear? What are you doing?
I'm on the point of developing algebraic formulae by means of a quadrilateral equation.
Oh, yes. Well, put your counting beads up on the shelf.
Up. Did you say up? Yes, that's the answer. Put everything up. Prescriptions, rates, national insurance.
Yes, what happened to you? You've changed. You've become...
Yes. Little did I know it, but I had changed, and for the worse, I'd become Mr. Howe, a cold-blooded psychopath, or to use the technical term, chancellor. Shopkeepers shunned me. Pensioners poo-pooed me. Even frozen meat salesmen gave me the cold shoulder. Exactly. I was hated by people everywhere, and I wouldn't mind, but... Well, It's not just people, it's Tories as well.
Oh, there, Jeff. You're home now. Everything's back to normal.
Really?
Yes, so long as you don't go upsetting people again. Now, come on, blow your nose and calm down. That's it. Oh, Geoffrey, do fold your hanky properly. Look, it's all in creases.
In creases? Did you say in creases?
Well, it's not all been bad news this week. Did you read that in the Sun? Did you read in the Sun that men are now allowed to spend all night in their girlfriends' rooms at St. Hilda's College, Oxford, provided they leave 50p entrance fee on arrival?
Oh, Lavinia, cuticins. How much is this deposit I have to leave with the porter, darling?
50p!
Oh, gosh! 48, 49, 50. I can just manage it.
Oh, I'm sure you can, Rupert.
Oh, hey, look out.
Evening, miss. Evening, sir. Looking forward to a bit of nudge-nudge. How's your father? Know what I mean?
Now, look here, porter. Never mind my father. Here's my 50p deposit.
Rupert, I can't wait.
Oh, lovely.
Just let me make a note of your name, sir.
Yes, sir. Rupert St. John Raleigh Thumbleton Probe.
Rupert St. John Raleigh. Oh, not the third Viscount Thumbleton Probe?
Why, yes.
That'll be £2.
£2, but I've only got 50p.
Oh, no.
Now, look here, my good man. I understood the charge to be 50p a night.
Oh, that's right, sir. 50p a night, 30 bob an earl, £2 a viscount.
And what about Dr. Owen demanding that the SDP should be given a broadcasting slot? Maggie Thatcher would like to give him a slot just below the chin. Anyway, if they are given television time, what on earth are they going to talk about?
Hello, I'm David Owen, and I'd like to talk to you about our policies. I really would. But after our tremendous victory at Crosby last week, I let that honor go to Shirley Williams.
What? Ha-ha. Yes. Thank you, David. Our policies, well, about our unemployment policy. Over to David.
What? Thank you so much, Shirley. Yes, well, we haven't got one. I mean, who needs an unemployment policy? I know it sounds odd, but I think Britain would be far better off with no unemployment at all. And as for education, Shirley.
Thank you, David. Of course, education is a pet topic of mine. And I must say, I'm very fond of pets. Yes, I used to keep a stick insect until my son mistook it for a twiglet. And back to you, David.
Your generosity is only exceeded by your clothes, then, Shirley. on the topic of an incomes policy...
Did you say incomes policy?
Ah, Roy Jenkins.
Hello.
Hello. Would you care to say a few words here?
Why? Oh, all right. Well, I don't know about policy, but I've got a nice Valpolicella that I'd really like to recommend. It's a witch booty wedge.
Yes, marvellous, Roy. Yes, thank you. As for defence, well, I'm all for sitting on it. Sitting on it. But seriously, Shirley.
Thank you, Dr. Death. So finally, to summarise our manifesto, here's David.
Shirley.
David.
Shirley.
David.
Shirley.
Roy.
What? Oh, dear. Well, now, here's the weather. The day will start off foggy, with foggy patches clearing up about noon.
I'm Dickie Dunn.
I'm Jan Young.
And this is The Wonderful World of Sport. The big news this week is that George Best may be returning to British soccer. And not to be outdone, the England cricket team, humiliated by India in the first test, is also bringing back an old superstar.
Yes, he's England's most famous run-getter, W.G. Gray.
A spokesman for Mr. Gray described his condition today as dead.
So he certainly won't feel out of place among the England batsmen.
Thank you, Jan. And now we take an in-depth look at one of sport's perennial problems, soccer hooliganism. Jack.
Yes, indeed, Dickie. At last Saturday's Derby-Chelsea match, Chelsea fans rioted when Derby scored their equalising goal. One of those Chelsea fans is with me now. He's 17-year-old Andy Snott.
Ah, John Boy.
Andy,
oh,
you...
What's your trouble, darling?
You are a soccer hooligan.
What's that is?
A hooligan is someone who deliberately...
Oh, no, I know what an hooligan is. What's soccer?
Soccer is the sport you're supposed to follow.
Oh, soccer, yeah. Well, I never get the chance to watch it with all that bother in the crowd, do I?
Seriously, Andy, why do you do it?
Well, basically, John, because nobody respects me, do they? And we take the cop who arrested me at the Derby game, he called me an animal. So I bit his leg.
Andy, I think you're a nasty, foul-mouthed, lazy, brutal, good-for-nothing pig. What do you say to that?
Thanks, John. You've made my day.
And once again, it's time to open the scented pages of Di's diary. Or as it's to be known from next June, Listen with Mother.
What an awfully boring week it's been. Nothing to do all day but sack servants. Of course, Charles has been terribly kind and tried to cheer me up. For instance, when we were in town last week, he said, "Why don't you go shopping?" I told him I couldn't because I'd forgotten my money. But he just said, "Well, that's never stopped you before." Actually, diary, I'm very, very interested in redundancy, as it's part of the current affairs course Charles has insisted I study. I asked Charles at one point, "How could you make a dough queue shorter?" And in his funny voice, he replied, "Make them stand closer together, Neddy." I told Charles not to make jokes in poor taste. Gosh. We are to be invited to the palace for Christmas dinner. Apparently, we all have dinner together, Then in the afternoon, we play Hunt the Corgi. And then we all gather around the television to watch the Queen tell jokes. And still on television, I was awfully excited to see that they're going to repeat my favorite program next week. Yes, our wedding. I wonder if we'll get paid. I asked Charles if there'd be any royalty on the repeat, and he said yes. Mother, father, between you and me, Diary, I still blush a bit where I got Charles's name wrong. Fancy calling him Arthur Johnson. Gosh, Diary, Charles's father had a near miss the other day. Charles said he nearly hit a jumbo bound for Miami. Gosh, Diary, how romantic. I asked Charles what the prince was in at the time, and he said a jacket and trousers. Charles said it could have been curtains, and I replied, oh, good, because I've seen some nice ones in Swan and Edgar. Crikey, Diary, I must dash. I promised Charles I'd decorate the Christmas tree, and I want to choose the panes and wallpaper. Bye.
Well, glancing at page 3 of the Daily Telegraph, you never know your luck, do you? I saw a story about a man who thought he was 63, but turned out to be nearly 80. They thought something was wrong when he didn't pass his 11 plus till he was 47. But records are badly kept in a lot of small villages, and I don't think we've heard the last of this sort of mix-up. Next.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear. Dear. Hello, Mr. Friggins.
Oh, hello, Doctor.
Now, what can I do for you this week?
Oh, I'm not feeling myself.
Good.
I think it's time I retired.
Retired from what? I haven't done a day's work since I've known you. How long is it now? No. I mean, how many years have I known you? Oh, never mind. Look. How old are you?
I think I'm about 86.
Yeah, you look about 86. Well, when were you born?
Oh, I don't know. I think it was when I was a baby.
Oh, never mind. Now, let's have a look. No. That's your card here. How strange. One of your particulars is missing.
Oh, no!
I mean, there's no first aid on your card. Oh, no. I've got the parish register here. This goes back to the 12th century. Now, let's have a look in the annals. Shut the book! The book, Mr. Friggins, the book. Now, here we are. Let's go through here. Rudolph Friggins. Adolf Friggins. Friggins the Hun. Elvis Friggins, no. No, there's no mention of you.
Oh,
well. Wait a minute. December the 3rd, 1950. Rock Friggins. I think that's an R. Rock Friggins Male. That's you, isn't it?
Oh, it might be, yes.
Well, look at it. This makes you 31 years old. Look.
Oh.
Look here, look. Weight, 8 pounds, 3 ounces. Length, 18 inches.
Oh, that's me, all right.
Well, you realize what this means, don't you?
What?
You're shrinking.
Oh.
This week we found out just how little money those ladies who sweep the corridors of power in Whitehall really earn. So here's a salute to them. Here's to the squad who keep Westminster clean on wages so basic they're balmy.
They polish the floors till they're fit for the queen, the regular Mrs. Mopsarley.
Maggie said, please, everyone please. That's how I like people down on their knees.
They polish the benches and clean underneath. And blimey, the horrors they find there.
Oh, don't mind me, ladies, I'm known as Sir Keith.
He likes to relax and unwind there.
Once in a rush, our friends at a brush, and goodness me, for Michael Brooklyn.
Scrubbing the bar in the commons all night, their life is one long hurly burly.
Look aside.
Yes, that's how they nearly lost Shirley. Sometimes at night, there's a terrible howl. And ghostly, unbearable screeches. And there, in the moonlight, they see Enoch Powell. He's practicing one of his speeches. Those Mrs. Mops.
News Hudline, starring Roy Hudd, with Chris Emmett, Alison Steadman as the Hudliner. The script was written by Rob Grant and Doug Naylor, Terry Ravenscroft, Richard Quick, Peggy Evans, Pete Hickey and Trevor McCallum, Trevor Cooper, Bob Stinfield, Charlie Adams, James Hendry, Jeffrey Atkinson, John Cantor and Roy Apps, with additional lines by Dave Dixon, Neil Clark, Ken Ellis, Pete Sargent and Dennis McHale, Colin Wayne, John Hyde and David Stein.
All of who in the mini budget have had their stipend cut by our producer,
Alan Nixon.